in this match.
If it's a war, you can say whatever you want.
I thought it was a cult. I didn't know what was going on.
The Fed did. I think New York did.
One of your executive vice presidents loves that company.
It's the first ever finishing move that's exclusive to a promotion.
Advantage.
Fresh off the heels of what can only be described as an exciting Full Gear pay-per-view.
And a week that lasted a full year.
Nah, I see what you did there. We are here. What's going on?
Nothing. It's a beautiful, weirdly 70-degree day in northern Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we were able to play cornhole yesterday in November. That's I guess I should complain about it because that's kind of like global warming and that's not good. But I'm not going to complain about it because it was nice to play.
I'm going to complain about it. I love 70s, 65, 70s, even up to 80s.
That's good the temperature. 75 is the ideal everyday temperature.
The ideal temperature.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
But once it gets cold, fucking stay cold. Because I get bad sinus drip and allergies in the fall, and I can't fucking breathe when shit like this happens.
Well, like, dude, we were still outside when the sun went down last night, and it instantly dropped like 20 degrees.
Oh, I was outside as well. I was outside by a fire pit having dinner with my neighbors. And so it got cold, but it was still nice.
Yeah, it was
a very clear night. You know what? I don't mind cold if it's like crisp. You know what I'm talking about? If you can feel the cold right down into your fucking plums, that's what you want. You know what? That wet, drainy shit. But I just, once it stays...
I just want somewhere where it's 75 all year round, like San Diego.
Arizona.
No, there's scorpions there.
Oh, yeah, we went through this already. New Mexico.
San Diego.
Yeah.
It's like 75 there all year round.
Seattle?
I love Seattle, dude.
No scorpions there.
And it rains. I love the rain, dude.
It doesn't rain as much as the media portrays it does in Seattle.
Well, then I want to go there. Fuck the Seahawks.
I mean, they are the...
The sea chickens.
The sea chickens?
Sea chickens.
Also, not a real thing. They're the only NFL mascot that's not a real thing.
I guess... I'd say Browns aren't a real thing, but Paul dogs. Brown is.
But they're dogs.
No, it's named after Paul Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the mascot is dogs.
And then Paul Brown turned on them and created the Bengals, and their stadium's named after Paul Brown.
Paul Brown, big Ohio guy.
Big Ohio guy.
Fuck you, Urban Meyer. Fuck you.
From...
I almost said Woody Harrelson. Woody Allen.
Jesus. All the way from Cleveland to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I would probably defect from Cleveland, too. And then Art Modell defected from Cleveland and made the Ravens.
The New World Order.
I'm sensing a pattern here.
I mean, did you ever see that guy? I think he's in Milwaukee. He has a thing.
LeBron went to the Lakers and the Heat. He did it twice.
I think the guy is on the top of his garage by the Cleveland.
Miz defected to L.A.
Yes, he did. And then Austin and back to L.A. But.
Well, and kayfabe, he never went to Austin. In real life, he did.
I watched Miz.
Well, Miz and Miss, is that WWE canon, though? Is that like...
Why wouldn't it be if Total Divas is?
I don't think Total Divas is, because they call Naomi Trinity on that show.
Well, they've been referring to Mike, or The Miz, as Mike more and more on Raw for some reason.
I've never watched Miz and Mrs. in my life. I couldn't even tell you.
Great show.
Couldn't even tell you what the show is about, besides their family.
Great show. They have sex a lot.
Good for him.
Yeah, very good for him.
Good for him.
And their children are adorable.
Their children are adorable. I can attest to that.
But that's about it. But yeah, I don't know how weather got on that conversation. But yeah, it's a nice sunny day today. Usually day where I'd be golfing, but I've sucked the last 3 weeks and I refuse to get out there.
That's the spirit.
So, what's going on with you?
Same old shit, just different day. Mm-hmm. Out here trying to get it each and every way. Mama need a house. Baby need some shoes. Times are getting hard. Guess what I'm going to do?
Hustle?
Hustle.
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 Hard.
Yes.
Closed mouths don't get fed on this boulevard.
All right.
But I'm all right.
Let's continue on before we get into Rick Ross. But, so yeah, I'm coming out Full Gear, some New Japan stuff. Not a whole lot to talk about today. We'll talk about the Wednesday shows from last week, which were expectedly the two least watched shows of the week, right? I think the first 50 were all new shows.
Yeah, neither of them made the top 50 in the demo.
But that's to be
expected. Yeah, I don't think anyone... I mean, AEW got like seven.
When Billy Gunn is in the main event of.
I think AEW got 7.15 and NXT got 6.10.
6.10 was NXT.
All things considered, that's not terrible.
No, considering 120 million people just voted.
Yeah.
More than that. No, I'm sorry. Run around 150 now. They're not done counting.
But let's not get into that because.
Oh, yeah. either stop or start the count. Just let's talk about wrestling. So, up in this episode, we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in New Japan.
Shouts to the homie Joe Biden, though.
Scranton's own.
Yeah.
The war report, and we'll end up with Full Gear, and I'll have a good time.
And shouts to Trebek, too.
Rip. Oh, yes, before we get into that, rest in peace to the real GOAT. Greatest talk show host, or greatest game show host in history.
Richard Dawson might have something to say about that.
Bob Barker can suck it, too.
I wasn't going to say Bob Barker. Bob Barker might be the greatest Raw guest host of all time.
He's pouting.
Shatner was good, too, when he spoke the theme songs.
Shatner was unreal.
Shatner was good.
But before we get into this, we'll see you guys after you hear us talk about Anchor.
So, Full Gear wasn't the only show to go down on Saturday, November 7th. There was also some New Japan Pro Wrestling. Power Struggle took place at the Edion Arena in Osaka. And we're not going to talk about the whole show. We're just going to talk about a few of the major happenings. So Shingo Takagi went to war with Minoru Suzuki. If you haven't seen that match, I recommend going and checking it out.
I actually have seen it.
I wasn't necessarily talking to you.
You looked right at me, sorry.
Well, who else am I going to look at?
That's true.
I mean, we're supposed to be having a conversation here.
We are.
To not respectful and not look people in the eye.
That's true. I like your manhood.
Yeah. But Shingo and Minoru went to war. Shingo recaptured the NEVER Openweight Championship, the official title of the Mean Guy Classic. The Great Okan battled Kazuchika Okada. Okada won with the money clip, his wacky submission hold. And then after the match, Will Ospreay got in the ring after drinking some champagne at ringside. He yeeted a watch that supposedly cost 10,000 pounds, and he challenged Okada for a match at Wrestle Kingdom. He said he used Okada to get more popular, and it worked. And Okada accepted, and we have Will Ospreay versus Kazuchika Okada set for the Dome, either January 4th or 5th.
Not a goddamn thing wrong with that.
No. I mean, I think everyone knew that's where it was going.
And that match will be 43 stars.
Then Kota Ibushi put the G1 Climax winning briefcase on the line against Jay White, the Switchblade.
Do you think Jay White will ask for that to be replaced?
I mean, probably because it's in Kota Ibushi's colors. So I'd assume he wouldn't want to walk around with it. I think we talked about it last year, actually, when, once again, Kota was defending the briefcase. And both of us picked him to retain the briefcase last year. We didn't predict a show this year. But we said briefcase winners coming in this match were 16-0. And we both said at some point, one of them's got to lose eventually.
I actually remember this conversation.
Yeah, I remember it too, because it just popped into my head when I saw the result. And I'm like, they're not going to keep doing it every year if one year they don't eventually lose. It doesn't...
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Although I don't know how I feel about it, because I invested all that time in the G1, watching Kota Ibushi win, and now I guess you're supposed to be mad about it, because I don't know.
This company loves to start-stop Jay White. They do.
Well, when the booker is managing the guy, you tend to think that they think highly of him.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know how much I like Jay White. I like this title ring.
I'm surprised they still like him after he says he's never going to WWE, because I know that's a sore spot with you.
I don't think he belongs there. Don't think he fits there. I think he's a jag in WWE.
I don't necessarily agree with that at all, but...
You think he'd be more than just another guy?
Yes. Absolutely.
If it happened, I would be happy, but...
I think he would be a instant main eventer.
Really?
Yes. Look at him.
Yeah.
He's got the charisma.
There's not much not to like about him. He can wrestle.
You know, WWE loves their Australians and New Zealanders. The roster's flooded with them. Mostly women.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
We got Buddy Buckets. We got Dakota Kai. We got Tony Storm.
We got Buddy Mysterio. And,
oh, boy.
He will definitely take her last name, right?
I mean, probably.
No, you know what I know what's funny? What if?
What if
all the Mysterios all come out and Buddy's dressed to the fucking nines with Trip?
Buddy needs some Trip if he's gonna date.
Oh, yeah. Buddy needs some Louis.
Buddy needs some Louis, some and Gucci, some Dior.
I hate out of the ring segments, especially WWE, especially with the fucking Judge Judy segments. Oh, but Jesus. If we got
Murphy flying to Paris to shop for Dior,
just Murphy and Bray shopping together, I think I would need it.
The Mysterios definitely fly to Paris to buy their Dior.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, right from Christian himself.
Yeah. They're not going to their local boutique. They are flying to Paris.
Yes, they are. On probably a Louis Vuitton pattern airplane.
I love how the Mysterio, the entire family's just there every week without any explanation.
Did they live in the performance center? Like,
it's supposed to be a closed set because of COVID and shit, and Aaliyah's just there every week.
They live in the Amway Center.
They're getting booted from the Amway Center in like a month.
Yeah, where are they going? They said
they're looking at Florida, Texas, and Illinois. They're looking for a venue in those three states. I don't know where Illinois came from.
Somewhere Chicago.
No, but, like, I don't know where Illinois came from in the equation. Like, Texas and Florida makes sense, but I don't know where the fuck Illinois came from. That seems, like, very out of left field.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a reason.
Like, I don't think Illinois is one of the states that's... Because the Bears don't have fans. I don't think they're one of the states that's allowing fans. And WWE is, like, adamant about having fans for the Royal Rumble, which I don't blame them.
You have to. If it's possible, you have to have fans for the Rumble.
I mean, I would love there to be fans for the Rumble because I've... When Money in the Bank happened, and, like, we had that wacky-ass Money in the Bank match, I was shitting my pants of the thought that we might get a cinematic Rumble. Because that would have been the shits.
Leave the Rumble alone. I love the Royal Rumble. It's the greatest, probably the greatest match style in history.
Greatest, it's up there.
Greatest gimmick match in history.
It's up there.
And the presentation of all.
You can make the argument for the OG, like, WCW, NWA style war games.
Yeah. But I mean,
argument. You could
the stakes are big every year.
You could argue Hell in a Cell.
The stakes are big every year. There's always stakes.
A match where you can only win by surrender, those are pretty high stakes.
Yeah, they are. But you see, I don't know. I like it. You get.
I think you can make the argument for Hell in a Cell before it became bastardized as a yearly pay-per-view. Because once it became a yearly pay-per-view, all the mystique went away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hell in a Cell was great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Royal Rumble's up there, though. Maybe we'll do a gimmick match.
For some reason, Elimination Chamber works as a yearly pay-per-view. I don't know why.
It does. Wow. I had a great time at the Chamber this year.
Yeah, like, I hate, like, Hell in a Cell. Like, I hate match types as pay-per-view concepts. I like TLC because, like, you shouldn't have a Hell in a Cell match just because it's October. That's the stupidest shit. And I think I've talked about this so many times. But for some reason, Elimination Chamber works. Maybe it's because, like, it's right before WrestleMania, and he always be like, the winner goes to WrestleMania.
And it's a main card. It's a main event title. You know, it's a main event thing. Like they just throw a Hell in a Cell for anything out there. They don't throw elimination chambers out there for nothing nowadays. You know?
And like Hell in a Cell, like you kind of need. Well, I guess you don't. You just make it a yearly pay per view. But in the old days, you needed a rivalry intense enough to like constitute Hell in a Cell. For Elimination Chamber, like, it's kind of impossible, for a rivalry to be settled in Elimination Chamber because you need six fucking guys. So maybe that's why it works better. Because, like...
And once again, there's stakes.
If there's a fucking Finn Balor, Adam Cole blood feud, you can't settle it in the Elimination Chamber because you need fucking four other guys. So that might be... But you can settle it in Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
So that might be why Elimination Chamber works better as a yearly pay-per-view concept.
And you know what? I wouldn't mind Adam Cole and Finn Balor in Hell in a Cell.
I think you should write a thesis on why Elimination Chamber works as a yearly pay-per-view concept, but TLC and
Hell in a Cell. I will give me a word count. I haven't written in a while.
I don't know. 5,000? I feel like that's
5,000?
Yeah. It's a thesis.
I'm writing a thesis on Hell in a Cell?
You're writing a thesis on why Elimination Chamber works as a yearly pay-per-view, but other match types do not.
Could we publish it if I could write it?
If we get that sumbitch published, sure. We gotta find some sucker that'll publish it, but...
Yeah, I'm a trained, talented writer.
I don't doubt that. I just don't know if any educational journals are yearning for a thesis about yearly pay-per-views.
There's a PR person somewhere that would love...
Every PR person! Every PR person!
I'll just...
All of them!
I'll find the king of PR and look for all his mates.
Yeah.
And preferably the Wendy's guy, but...
Odds are they are wrestling fans. There's a 96.6% chance.
I'm going to write that thesis one day.
But I feel like if you're a PR guy, you kind of have to be at the pulse of pop culture.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So I don't necessarily think they're all wrestling fans. They're all just aware of wrestling.
But you kind of have to be a certain person before you decide to go that career path. You
know what I'm saying? Absolutely.
You have to be able to make these crafty references. You have to be able
Especially in today's social media world. Yeah.
You have to be on it. You have to be... I don't know how... There's got to be a young word for it today. Like, on fleek, I think they say.
Like when... I think the most shocked I ever was when the Mariners and the A's played in the Tokyo Dome. And...
There was a web gem?
No, it might have been a, I thought it was a home run. It could have been a web gem. But someone's like 7 stars because it was in the Tokyo Dome from Dave Meltzer. It was the A's Twitter account, and I was so baffled.
Yeah. So, but, you know, that's going to be my thesis.
I liked my idea better.
I'll write both of them. Oh,
Jesus, you're just...
I'm an extremely talented...
I wish I had that kind of time on my hands.
I don't have it, but I can write. So, well, I'm going to do this. I'm definitely going to do this. Absolutely.
So, yeah, what do you think about Jay White winning the briefcase?
That's where we started this conversation?
Yes.
I don't like Kota losing it, but... if he was to lose it to anybody, it'd be him.
You're breathing with the switchblade?
I like the switchblade, so.
But you're not breathing with him.
Not breathing with
COVID him. COVID times.
No, I'm not breathing with anybody.
Can't breathe with anybody.
I'm barely breathing with me.
Oof, that's not good.
No, it's not.
I like it just because we've seen, and like I wouldn't complain if we got it again, but we've seen Naito and Ibushi like 8 times in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
So I think Jay White and Naito's a fresher matchup, even though we've seen that a couple times as well.
But there's not much you haven't seen over there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not like the great Okan's gonna come in and
I was going that exact same place. I want him to come in and just clean fucking house. He's the great Okan.
It's the way
descendant of Tony and Shad.
It's the way they do and Genghis. This is the way they do business. You work, especially them. You work your way up, and then you're there forever. So
you work your way up, then you get managed by Gato.
Yeah, and then he slightly taps his predecessor
with the chair.
Yoshihashi falls, and that is gone for months.
Is that like the most disastrous segment in wrestling history, barring injury? Like, yes. That injury didn't happen.
Yeah,
injury did happen in that segment. Yoshihashi was out for like 8 months after that.
I thought it was fine and ideal in idea. But it was just horrible in execution.
Dude, he busted his ass.
Yeah, and Gato hit the softest chair shot. I would have retired.
How do you come back from that?
He came back and won something, didn't he?
He did. He won his first championship in pro wrestling.
That's really hard to do.
How do you not win any title in pro wrestling?
But, oh, good God almighty. But Jay White will be fine.
Rob Gronkowski won a title in pro wrestling before Yoshihashi.
Yeah. That's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. But I like Switchblade. You know, I've been a fan of him, and a lot of people weren't. But I think it'll be good. You throw the belt on him if you want to.
And then main event time, Evil taking on Tetsuya Naito. And you'll never believe this, but shenanigans broke out in this match.
You mean you're telling me they've fucked with Evil's catch-as-catch-can style?
I love how Dick Togo's nickname is the Spoiler. The Spoiler, Dick Togo! He's a spoiler. What is it?
Dick to go.
The Spoiler. Yeah, so there was a Yujiro Takahashi involvement. Yeah, Dick to go was there. Sonata came out in fucking red bottoms and cleaned house.
Was he in red shoes?
No, he was in red. He was in fucking Louboutins. He was in red bottoms.
What is it with wrestlers and drip? They love it.
I mean, if you have that kind of money, what else are you gonna do with it?
I don't know. Invested.
Who the hell does that?
Not me. I'll tell you that much.
Cody Rhodes' catchphrase is literally, spend it now, you'll make more later.
Yeah.
Like, that's... What else are they going to spend their money on?
I don't know. Housing?
I'm sure they all
have... Cody Rhodes could spend his money on healthcare for his employees, like he promised.
Well, his employees do have healthcare. His independent contractors don't.
Oh, there's such a difference there between them and the Fed. All right. Somebody else you want to talk about on the show? Shingo kicked Minoru Suzuki's ass.
That's the first thing we talked
about. Yeah, I know. I'm just going through it.
Yano and ZSJ had a no turnbuckle match.
Yeah, for that stupid trophy.
It's so small. Like, when I unveiled the trophy, I had a hearty belly laugh.
You remember you texted me and said, you're not going to believe this.
Everything about it was just unbelievable.
He's the king of pro wrestling. But going off that, you want to talk about World Tag League a little bit?
Yeah, they announced the teams for World Tag League. Of course, for the first time ever, World Tag League and Best of the Super Juniors will be happening simultaneously. So, we'll have lots of New Japan to watch coming up. So, here are your 10 entrants. Starting with the defending winners, Finn Juice, Juice Robinson, and David Finlay. They will look to go back-to-back as World Tag League champions. Following that up, we have the reigning defending IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, the Dangerous Techers, Zack Sabre Jr. and Taichi.
What a stupid name.
It's a British thing.
Mm. Yeah, because all British things aren't stupid.
What is with you and being anti-British?
This whole country should be goddamn anti-British.
So you're a big Brexit guy.
No, that's the stupidest thing ever, but that's a different podcast.
Well, but you don't like England, so you should like the fact that they're splitting away from the Union.
Oh, on the Union side, yeah. They don't need them. Don't mind Ireland and Wales, though.
Gorillas of Destiny. Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, making their fifth entry.
I feel like it'd be their 80th entry.
Apparently, this team is called Hanar Ace. Tella Hanari and Hiroshi Tanahashi making their second entry.
Hilarious.
Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi, who do not have a team name. They're just Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi. Another team without a team name. Toru Yano and Tomohiro Ishii make their third entry as a team.
What an awesome tag team.
Former heavyweight tag champs. Perhaps my favorite entry. Shingo Takagi teams up with Sanada.
That's an awesome tag team.
It's a great team. It's my favorite guy and your favorite guy.
Depending on the color of his hair.
Well, it's not blonde anymore.
I know, so. Thank God.
Evil and Yujiro Takahashi make their first entry.
Bold club for life.
And Bad Luck Fale and Chase Owens come back for their third entry.
That's a funny visual tag team.
And then Great Okan and a mystery partner.
Who's it going to be?
I don't know. Will Ospreay said he's forming a new faction. And so far, he's got him and Okan. So I'm assuming whoever it is will be a member of Will Ospreay's new faction.
Who do you think it will be?
I honestly don't know.
Who's even out there?
I honestly don't know.
Who could it possibly be?
Shocker, but my answer is I honestly don't know. I don't know who the fuck it's going to be.
Well, I think they're going to win, whoever they are. They seem to love the Great Khan.
So, I'm reading the description on NewJapan.com. Will Ospreay made allusions to a new third active member of the Empire. So I guess that is what this faction will be known as. They call him the literal X Factor. Is it going to be Sean Waltman?
It's going to be just incredible.
It's going to be Sean Waltman and the Great Okan.
What if it's Matt Bloom?
I can't see him leaving his NXT job to go back and work with the Great Okan.
Tony, you're dealing with the X Factor.
Maybe it's Uncle Cracker himself. I know that's more than one person, but...
No, he's only... Is it?
I thought it was a band. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
I mean...
I just assumed Uncle Cracker was the whitest name for a band in history.
Uncle Cracker? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
There's nothing more white than an uncle.
And a cracker.
And a cracker, yeah. But, what a abysmal field for this tag team. Was there a shade of illusion in their tag division that they just covered well and it wasn't always good, or did it just significantly
get worse? No, it was definitely, like, 4 or 5 years ago, it was definitely really good, and... Gallus and Anderson left.
That worked out for them.
Yeah. It's just like the War Raiders left.
The Bucks left.
A War Machine, I guess they were there. Yeah, the Bucks left. They had a good tag division at one point.
Yeah, I just remember this tournament used to be unreal.
Yeah.
But that's about it for New Japan.
Carl Anderson was in five different great tag teams.
Yeah, isn't Carl Anderson and Bloom like the best tag team they've ever had?
I think they're the longest reigning champs ever. Yeah.
But that's enough about all of New Japan.
So I'm looking at like the little block gimmick that they have, and it's got all the team names, and then the last team name is just Team Okan. What if it's Tony?
No, it's gonna be Jackson.
And then Jackson DeVille?
It's gonna be Matt Jackson DeVille.
Jackson DeVille took a Judas effect and he hasn't been seen since. Actually he did, he got his revenge on Guevara at the game, he threw him in a pool.
Oh my God, what a stupid fucking thing.
Speaking of Sammy Guevara, up next, we will talk about the go-home show for AEW Dynamite as well as NXT. So stay tuned. It'll be fun. And we're back. We have, as always, the War Report. We will start with AEW Dynamite, the go-home show.
For no reason other than alphabetical order.
So... We open with Chris Jericho calling MJF soft before joining the broadcast booth. And then we go to MJF teaming with his bodyguard Wardlow to take on the makeshift team of Sammy Guevara and Ortiz. And they actually did a great job explaining why it was Guevara and Ortiz and not Santana and Ortiz, because Santana, Hager, and Jericho were all fine with MJF joining the Inner Circle, but Guevara and Ortiz are against it. So that's why they are teaming up to take on MJF and Wardlow.
It's a good story.
I appreciate them making sense of it. So Wardlow gives Ortiz a gigantic spine buster. MJF tags in, stomps Ortiz in the corner.
Talks once again, Wardlow looked great.
He talks some shit. Wardlow basically does all the work, and MJF tags in when the man is down and gets some cheap heat. Ortiz gets a hot tag to Guevara, who worked like the biggest babyface in this match. He made a hell of a comeback. Super kick, jumping knee to the face, springboard crossbody, a pair of topes to both men. Then all of a sudden, well, first, there's a setup for a superplex spot, but Wardlow gets them in the Tower of Doom. Wardlow hits an F10 to Ortiz, but Guevara makes the save. And then Guevara sees a man in a Serpentico mask and decides to flip him off. This man throws a chair at Sammy right in front of referee Rick Knox. Rick Knox does not give a shit, though, and MJF puts the Salt of the Earth armbar onto Ortiz for the victory. After the match, MJF ambushed Jericho in a sign of tough love.
Fine.
It was good.
It was fine. If you're not getting disqualifications right in front of the ref, it's not going to happen ever again, but...
Up next, a sit-down interview with Tony Schiavone and Kenny Omega. Tony complimented Kenny on the house and the dog, but then Kenny said, "It's not my house, it's not my dog." Thought that was kind of weird and unnecessary.
Kenny Omega does something weird and unnecessary?
Did you notice the picture of the two wrestlers on the...
I did not.
So supposedly, it was Don Callis being managed by Kenny Omega's uncle.
Oh, he was the Golden Sheik, wasn't he?
Yes.
The original Sheik?
Not
the
original.
The original Golden Sheik.
The original Canadian Sheik.
The Canadian Sheik, yeah.
The Golden Sheik, yes.
Canadian, known for their Sheiks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although I think Tiger Ali Singh is Canadian.
He is, and so is the modern-day Maharaja.
A gender is Canadian.
And I believe Muhammad Hassan was, too.
I think he's from New York.
Muhammad Hassan?
Yeah. He's Italian.
Yeah, I know he's Italian.
He's Italian.
Know the feeling.
Coincidentally enough, I think Jinder Mahal is not only Canadian, he's from Calgary.
Great wrestling town.
Yeah. Known for Jinder Mahal and Bret Hart.
Known for the single most overrated wrestler in history. And Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, so Kenny just talks about, you know, the match with Paige, and, you know, it's just a promo. It was a decent promo by Kenny Omega standards.
It was fine.
Up next, Miro takes on Trent. Kip Sabian, Chuck Taylor, Orange Cassidy, all ringside.
Because, of course.
Trent is on fire early, pounding away at Miro in the corner. He wipes out Sabian at ringside, and Miro goes for a corner splash, but Trent avoids the splash. They go to commercial, come back from commercial, and Miro has control. Dark Order appears and attacks Orange Cassidy to set up the match with Silver on Saturday. Miro beats down Trent, kicks him in the face. Trent goes for a half-and-half suplex. Miro caught him and planted him with a fall-away slam. Trent is able to recover. It's a tope. Miro with another kick and the accolade. I forget what wacky name he calls it now. I think it's like Game Over or some shit.
Yeah, I didn't think it is the Game Winner, actually.
And he gets the victory. And then after the match, Chuck Taylor pulls Miro off his partner, only to be attacked by Sabian. The heels take the advantage until Orange Cassidy reemerges and hits an orange drop and wipes the heels out.
Pretty basic shit here.
Yep.
Just not thrilled with that Miro, anything Miro does up to this point in AEW. Hopefully that changes because I really, 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 really like the guy.
Another sit-down interview, this time with Jim Ross and Hangman Page. He's drunk.
That's got to end. I'm sorry.
Up next, FTR, hype package for FTR and the Young Bucks in their match on Saturday. We'll get to that when we get to full gear, but boy, oh boy, buckle in. Taz, Ricky Starks, and Cage hit the ring. They say that they're mad that Tony Khan has given them nothing to do. Good promo.
Very good promo.
Taz can still talk, certainly.
Absolutely, he could. And you know what? He's exactly what they need. I don't know why they're doing with the FTW Championship, though.
Yeah, it's just kind of there.
Yeah, it's like, hey, Taz did this thing once, and now he just carries it around.
Up next, Bucks and Private Party. The Jackson brothers take control. Matt is nursing a knee injury. that was that happened when his knee got pulmonized.
I believe it is. It's a shooting injury, too.
It is. It? Yeah, he has a...
That's not like his back.
Partially torn MCL and a thinning ACL.
Oh, who does? What wrestler doesn't?
Yeah. So, Matt's limping noticeably, but he's still able to do all of his offense. Private Party hit the gin and juice, but Matt broke up the pin. Bucks hit the BTE trigger and get the pin. FTR hits the ring. They hit the Goodnight Express on Matt. They try to damage the ankle further, but Hangman Page made the save, followed by Kenny Omega, and Omega and Page stare down. I liked it. I just thought that they should have probably timed it better, because FTR was sitting on the top rope forever before Hangman ran out.
Yeah, they mistimed it.
I think it was meant to be that way. I don't know why they would do it that way, but I think they meant to do it that way.
Oh, yeah, they've been telling that weird story with Hangman since this fucking promotion started, so.
But it's just like, what the fuck are you waiting for? Just jump on his fucking knee.
Yeah, I agree.
Match is good. Private Party and the Young Bucks always have good matches together. They got great chemistry together, and it accomplished its mission. Up next, easily the best thing on the show. Face-to-face, John Moxley, Eddie Kingston. Tony Khan announced that any physicality would result in the cancellation of their match. Kingston attributed his lack of family on why he is so focused to get the top prize in AEW. Moxley talks about a promise he made to Eddie's mother to take care of him when he couldn't take care of himself. Moxley said, "You will find out this Saturday that you are not the man you thought you were. You will say the words, 'I quit.'" Moxley threw the mic down. They got face-to-face, nose-to-nose. It was fantastic shit.
Yeah, I trust these two with anything. I mean, their match, you know what? Just a little spoiler. Their match wasn't spectacular. It was good, but nothing more. But when you throw something like this shit in, the build to this match has been awesome.
Yeah.
It turns into a successful program.
Yeah.
That's why wrestling, especially today's wrestling, needs to focus on build as well. Because this was fucking excellent. Eddie Kingston is ridiculously better than everybody else in this promotion attacking. And I hope he stays there, and I hope he helps out.
I think you got to give Moxley credit, too. His promos have been fantastic.
Well, also, Moxley's cut promos at the toppest level, the toppest level, the toppest level as well.
Yeah, but he was a wacky lunatic back then.
He was a lunatic fringe. That's different. You got to be scared of those.
Up next, we hear from the Bastard Pack for the first time in 7 months.
Yeah, Mr. fucking personality.
I like this.
It was good. He doesn't do much for me.
He warned that every day that passes, he gets faster and stronger. He talks about Pentagon and Phoenix, asks if they remember him. Remember Death Triangle?
Oh, do I?
There were multiple packs on the screen, all surrounding.
Multiple is an understatement.
There was
a lot of packs on the screen.
There was at least a 6-pack.
Maybe even
a 12-pack.
This was Jericho and Tanahashi part 2.
Oh, God. Except instead of just...
Except these guys could fit on the screen.
Jesus. The video came to an abrupt end. I thought it was good. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, good shit. Glad to see him back. He can help there. Like, he's not my favorite person in the world, but I think he's very, very good and cannot harm the promotion anyway.
Red Velvet versus Nyla Rose. Just a squash to get Nyla ready for her match with Sheeta on Saturday. After the match, Vicky Guerrero talked shit to Brandy, and then a scuffle with Rose and Sheeta broke out. Main event time. The Nightmare Family take it on the Dark Order. The Nightmare Family comprises of Cody, Billy, and Austin Gunn. Cody's last name is not Gunn. I can understand that might be misleading there.
Oh, my God. Why are Billy Gunn and Austin Gunn in this family?
And I'm honestly dead serious when I say this. I think they're trying to go the New Japan route of everyone's in a faction.
Ugh. No, don't do that. Don't do it.
I think that's what they're going for here.
Don't.
Because, I mean, we got the Elite, we got the Dark Order, we got the Nightmare Family, we got the Inner Circle, everyone. Like, Darby Allin is, like, the only guy that's not in a group.
And you know what? It works. If it was going to be anybody, it'd be him.
Yeah, it works.
We'll talk about that later.
Oh, we got Taz's crew. So the match starts with Austin and John Silver. Austin takes advantage. He tags Billy in, but then Silver makes a tag to Colt Cabana. Dark Order gets control. Works over Billy Gunn as we go to commercial. Cody gets a hot tag and unloads, wipes out Cabana as Darby watches from the stands. Austin hits the Crossroads, Cody's finishing move, to Colt Cabana, and he pinned 10.
Very, very upset it wasn't the Famouser. Who is 10? Is 10 the guy that lost to Trace McSorley in the Heisman?
Yes.
Okay.
10 is the Heisman hopeful whose career was ruined by knee injury.
What was his original name?
Preston Vance.
Preston Vance. Yeah, now he just stands behind Brody Lee.
Yes.
That's what his role is.
Cody grabbed a mic. He cut a really good promo saying that Darby Allin thinks that TNT doesn't want him as the face of the brand. He says it's a crock of shit. TNT would love Darby Allin as the face of the brand, but there's only one problem. Cody's the champion, and if it was anyone else, Darby Allin would probably win the title.
There's only one problem. Cody's the booker.
Only one problem. Cody's hair is blonde, not brown.
Cody's got his name back.
He did get his name back. Yeah, he's Cody Rhodes once again, as we'll get into.
Good.
He told Darby to quit lying to himself. He said, you can't get the ace belt because you're not the ace. And so you won't win the ace title at Full Gear.
I mean, the logic's there.
Yeah.
The logic works out there.
I'm just sad the Young Bucks won. I was ready for the TNT tag team titles.
Me too. I was ready for the TNT tag team titles.
But anyway.
And then Kenny would win whatever the fuck he books.
I don't know why the fuck this is the main event, but it was
a throwaway passable show. And I'm not saying it was a good show. It was not a bad show.
Spoiler alert, I'm going to pick this as the winning show this week.
But so am I. Spoiler wow. alert. But wow. I think but the best overall thing I seen wasn't on that show. But I think you know where that was. But
I don't know. See, I know you're thinking the Pat thing, but I thought Kingston and Moxley was just like
a little tiny bit better. You're right. With bigger stakes.
Yeah.
But
I love the Pat. We'll get into the Pat thing. I did love that.
But this show is not, especially them. NXT is a little bit less of an excuse because they don't have a huge pay-per-view set the next Saturday, you know?
Yeah.
Like why would AEW send those guys out there with a show they know nobody's watching?
They played it safe, which was
the right move. It's the right move. You can't be out there like, why would you have the Bucks out there doing tope con helos and shit if the one match I've ever wanted to see the Bucks have is 3 days away?
No, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? It's the right move. It's absolutely the right move. But
so shall we move on to NXT? Also Wednesday, November 4th. Ember Moon takes on Dakota Kai in the opener. Moon goes for a suicide dive, but Dakota Kai gets out of the way, sends her hard into the barricade. Ember Moon always takes those barricade bumps, and if you remember, that's what she fucked up her shoulder on. She's got to stop that.
Yeah, it's live and learn. She's living, but not learning.
Kai sent Moon to the mat again and again and again with some curb stomp-like kicks. Eventually, Dakota Kai loses control. Moon traps her in the LaBelle lock, shouts to Daniel Bryan. They fight to the top rope. Raquel Gonzalez distracts her. Dakota Kai hits the go-to kick for the win. I didn't see this one coming.
No, I mean, I don't know what they're doing with Ember, but let her do it.
I mean, I think it's more trying... I think it. Here's my mindset of what I think they're trying to do. Ember Moon's a former champion. She's an NXT legend. She's already pretty much... She's established.
Yeah.
Big win for Dakota Kai.
And Dakota will get there, because Dakota, underrated, maybe had the best year of wrestling.
Yeah,
like
the heel turn was great. The feud with Tegan, she had a good match with Io at Takeover 30.
Because if you want to start it at November, I'm not gonna hate you.
Yeah,
but no, I you know what I'm saying? Because that's when it happened last year. But she just had a great year, and good for her. I think she's very good.
Cameron Grimes taking on Kushida
to the moon.
He's interviewed backstage, but he ran off after he thought he saw a zombie ref.
I should hate that kind of stuff, but I can watch Cameron Grimes do anything.
Yeah, if it was anyone else. Cameron
Grimes do anything.
If it was anyone else, it would die a death. Kushida attacks the arm, like Kushida tends to do. Grimes eventually makes a comeback, but then the ref gets bumped. The zombie referee stepped in to take his spot. Grimes got spooked. Kushida locked in the hoverboard lock, and Grimes tapped out. Like I said, if this was anyone else on the planet Earth, I would probably hate it, but Cameron Grimes just makes it work.
Yeah.
And I really think they're building up Kushida for Balor.
I do too now. I honestly do. And you know what?
That'll be a great match.
Fucking the Prince and the Kid.
That'll be a great match. Once again. Drake Maverick and Killian Dane taking on Ever-Rise.
The other greatest people on the Earth.
Before that, we have Io Shirai calling out Rhea Ripley, telling her that she does not fear nightmares.
Or brutality.
Ever-Rise isolates Drake Maverick. Matt Martell, being the goat that he is, taunts Maverick while Chase Parker makes sure Killian Dane cannot get the tag. But then a wild Pat McAfee appears with the Lorcan Bunch.
What do you think their name is going to be?
I don't know. For the brand? The brand? Are they the brand?
They might be the brand.
So Pat...
What about... I almost said three brands, but Boney's from Boston.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
I don't know. Three bids through three Brits and a Yinzer? I don't know.
No, that would not be their name. I don't know what their name's going to be, but I can guarantee you it won't be that. Even if Lorcan was British, it wouldn't be that.
Fuck Boston.
So Pat, Pete, Oni, and Danny all show up. They destroy everyone. Everrise technically got the win because they were attacked first, as they later made clear in a WWE.com exclusive.
If you have not seen their WWE.com exclusive interviews, watch them.
They lay everyone out. Pat takes control of the camera. He cuts a promo paying tribute to the Undisputed Era. He says he's going to retire their banner tonight. They lower down, and I quote, the banner-raising thing. I don't know if that has a technical term, but if it does, Pat didn't know it, and I don't know it either, so I can't really blame him. But then Pat says it's a democracy. They vote on if they should raise the banner or throw that sumbitch in a trash can. And you'll be shocked, but throw that sumbitch in a trash can one. So they throw it in the trash can, they light it on fire, and then they make their way to the parking lot. They're getting ready to get in their Suburban, but then a wild Killian Dane appears and attacks Pat McAfee. The other three beat him up. Then Pete Dunne kicks a door into his face, and Pat McAfee says, that was a little aggressive. I like what you did there. That was a little aggressive. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Sorry, I heard a noise. That confused me.
I also hear the noise.
But McAfee's great. Great. Like, so refreshingly good.
He's so over the top.
I don't know how he's so good. He's so over the top, it works.
But that's who he is. Like, if you've listened to his show, that's who he is. But
he's being authentic, because I've been a fan of him for a while.
He's just being Pat McAfee.
Yeah. That's just who he is. And you know what? He's really good. He achieved this better than...
Like, I believe him when he says he hates the internet wrestling community, because those fuckers hate him.
And I hate him, too.
You're one of them.
I hate them.
But you're one of them. You hate yourself?
I am a self-hating person. You know this.
So am I, actually.
So... But I guess they're doing war games?
I don't know.
So...
I honestly don't know. I feel like... Because Survivor Series is only 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
So I feel like if they were doing it, they would have announced it.
But, like, that's where they're going, right?
But, I mean, where are they going to do it? I don't think they could... They can't do it in the fucking PC. There's not enough room. I don't think they'll want to change the Thunderdome setup for war games.
Well, they just do it... Oh, yeah, I guess. I mean,
where are they going to do it?
You're right. You're right. I don't think there's going to be one.
I mean, it seems like that's the natural progression, and I hope that's where they're going. I think they would have announced it by now.
Yeah. And you know what? McAfee and War Games would be funny to watch.
Shotzi Blackheart versus Toni Storm. They were having a good match, and then they lost me. Candace appears on the screen, says that her tank was left in the middle of the road, and she will watch it for her. That causes Shotzi to get distracted. Toni Storm rolls her up. And then the Scream Ghostface dude shows up in a Hummer. It was a Hummer, I believe. And Candace runs over the tank. And Shotzi was emotionally distraught.
I mean, if you lost your tank, what would you do?
Get another tank.
Fine, learn to hold.
I didn't get this one.
Yeah, they're hit or miss.
I get.
When they hit, they hit. When they miss, do they fucking miss?
It makes sense, I guess, because Shotzi cost Candace the woman's title last week. But, like, there's got to be a better way to get to her than destroy her tank. Like, we're supposed to believe that these are all rich athletes and she can't afford to buy another fucking tank.
The fact that she has a tank is funny.
I don't know. Just didn't do it for me. Maybe I'm being too harsh on it.
I don't know. Shotzi's weird to me.
The match, I like the match.
Match was fine. More than fine.
So in the parking lot, Joaquin Wilde, Raul Mendoza, and Santos Escobar are cutting a promo when Jake Atlas rolls up in the most mom car I've ever seen. He has a steel pipe with him. He hits Atlas. I mean, Atlas hits Atlas. Jesus. He hits Wilde and Mendoza and then hops back in his car and takes off.
Good shit.
What a babyface thing to do.
I mean, he's not quite on the list, but he's heading that way.
Oh, yeah, he's on the verge.
He's tweening on that list.
We have another live edition of Thatch as Thatch Can.
I love this.
He injured a man's elbow. Then Anthony Green, who has, for some unknown reason, been renamed to August Gray. made the save. Why the fuck did they rename this man?
Why the fuck did they rename anybody? Speaking of renames, did you just have the same thought of the same thing?
No, but I know where you're going, but I don't know why they... But, like, August Gray... Oh.
I mean, it sounds pretty British.
At least it's still AG, but he's not British!
Okay, Timothy Thatcher is.
No, he's not.
He's not?
He's from Sacramento.
Sacramento?
Yes.
You're telling me that this motherfucker's Chris Webber out there and he's not...
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Wait, you thought Thatcher was European?
I thought he just, like, worked there the last 20 years.
Yeah, he did. He worked. He was in ring camp with Walter and Wolf and Axel Dieter, Bartel. But, yeah, he's from Sacramento.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
I thought he was from over there somewhere.
Xia Li says she needs to fight Raquel Gonzalez because she dishonored her. I don't know if I missed something, but when did Raquel Gonzalez dishonor her?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm glad it's just not me. Rhea Ripley video package. She accepts Io Shirai's challenge. She promises to leave 2020 the same way she left 2019 as the NXT Women's Champion.
As she should.
Johnny Gargano playing life with Ghostface. Ghostface calls him. He says, "I'm in your house." Johnny turns and says, "Yeah, I know. You're sitting right next to me." I laughed. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people don't like the heel Johnny shtick, but I love it.
He hates wheels.
No, he loves wheels.
And he loves them.
He loves wheels. He spins the wheel and says, "I win like I always do. I love wheels." And then started dancing with his belt. He said, "Every title I've held, I've lost in the first defense. But that will not happen next week when I have a hand-picked opponent with my North American Championship on the line."
He's going to lose it, isn't he?
I hope it's Adrian Alanis again. Adrian Adonis? No, Adrian Alanis.
And he goes, "Adrian, what?"
Adrian, what?
Also, don't have the nickname Fee.
That's a different guy.
Oh, you're right.
That's Ashante the Adonis.
Yeah.
This is Adrian Alanis.
I hate people. So many fucking alliterations. The Dark Order has fucking numbers. They expect me to take care of this shit.
What number is Brody Lee? Has that been addressed?
Like, I mean, I think we're going to lead Exalted 1 and Evil Uno are both 1.
No, Evil Uno is 1, and Stu is Dos.
Who's 3?
Silver.
Who's 4?
Reynolds.
5?
5 is the geek that Kenny Omega fought.
Oh, fucking...
Alan Angels, yeah.
Anna
Jay's like 99, so I don't know, there's a big gap.
And
there.
Apparently Wendy's is 444.
What number are you? Are you a Dark Order guy?
No, they just want me to hand the fucking flyers. They what? Keep sending me emails like assholes.
That's how Silver started, and now he's like the fucking guy. So just keep working your way up.
Yeah, because I
want. It's like the corporate ladder.
Won't have the worst body in the group. I'm not gonna lie.
Evil Uno lost a lot of weight, dude.
He did, and so did I. So I'm on my way down. But I'm not just like a gimp.
That's why they won't accept you fully. Where's your mask?
Hanging from my car window. But, all right, continue. I don't even know what part of the show we're on.
Tommaso Ciampa and Velveteen Dream in the main event. Tommaso immediately goes after the cast on Dream's arm. He breaks it. He breaks it off. He continues to target that arm. Dream finally stopped Ciampa with a spine buster. Dream got angry, went for a chair, but the referee stopped him. Ciampa caught him with the knee, Willow's Bell, and the fairy tale ending. For like the third time in a month, it looks like Velveteen Dream got written off. But he keeps fucking coming back.
No, if he didn't get written off when he sailed 45 feet in that ladder match, he's not getting written off.
Well, dude, Kushida beat the fuck out of him at the last takeover. Like, after the match, he just got fucking beating on this man. So, like, I don't know what's up with the Dream.
Taking his licks.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. So ratings time?
Do you want to talk about them? I don't know if that...
Not ratings. I mean, our ratings.
Yes, okay.
Better show is AEW.
Yep, AEW wins.
NXT didn't do anything really for me at all. Neither did AEW, but they had the Moxley and Kingston segment, which was
outstanding. That's what it came down to for me as well.
And overall MVP is Eddie Kingston. I think he's the best thing on that show right now.
I agree once again.
He's so goddamn different than everybody else there. Pat McAfee on NXT because he's very, very good.
Still good. On the same page.
And my overall would be Ghostface. No, I'm just overall is...
Wait, no, my overall was Kingston.
Your overall was Kingston?
Yeah, not my AEW was... Huh. My AEW's probably
Austin Gunn. Way to go. But
sure, let's go with it.
My overall is both companies are putting on a show that they knew nobody would watch.
What a fucking cop-out answer that was.
It's not.
It's a cop-out answer it I've ever not. Seen. But yeah, that's the War Report. Up next, we'll talk about Full Gear. Yeah, stay tuned. So, Full Gear was this past Saturday. So let's go through it and give our thoughts. The buy-in. Admittedly, I did not watch this match. Serena Deeb took on Allison Kay.
I admittedly did not watch it either.
She defeated her by submission to retain the NWA Women's World Championship. And then, you'll never guess who reemerged. Thunder Rosa.
Good. Good. They really need her. As we'll talk about later.
The opener. Kenny Omega taking on Hangman Adam Page. Kenny Omega had another one of his over-the-top exuberant entrances, which I know you always enjoy.
Do you know why I hate it?
No.
Because fuck Justin Roberts. He is the worst ring announcer in history.
Okay, Brian Last.
He's awful.
Okay, Brian Last.
He's bad. Is he not bad?
I don't mind him. I don't think he's good, but I don't mind him.
Greg Hamilton is the fucking Fink compared to him. I'm the fucking Fink compared to him. I can't listen to him. He's got an awful voice. And I also hate these goddamn entrances.
I think that's the bigger problem.
If that's the point, I hate them. They're doing good because I hate them. I hate the North Carolina line. I hate the Dave Meltzer stuff. I hate that he's been the AAA Mega Death Champion ever. I hate them.
Sports Illustrated?
I hate them. I fucking hate these entrances. And I think that's the point, which good job.
So this is a good match.
The fuck that you worked in North Carolina. But all right, sorry. This was a great match.
Really?
It was not their best, and I don't think it was nearly supposed to be. And which is
I think it was. This is like the blow off of months in the making.
But you know they're gonna have another one.
Well, everyone has another one. Yeah. But like this was the blow off of the feud.
You're right. It was not what I expected it to be, especially in Omega matches.
Maybe that's why I was kind of disappointed. But like, don't get me wrong, it was a good match. Like, I'm not saying it was bad.
No, it was fine.
I had high expectations.
I understand your sentiment, but this was good. It was the right match to open. So
that's, yeah, no, I agree. It was the right match.
One thing they haven't figured out yet, which I think they figured out after Saturday, was how to order their shows.
Yeah,
because I think all of this went in the right order Saturday, which is important to me. Which is very important to me.
This pay-per-view was long as fuck, though.
It was. It was so long. I'm not complaining because I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah, so did I. But I'm just so used to WWE pay-per-views ending at like 9:30 these days.
Two and a half, 3 hours and 15 minutes should be the longest pay-per-view you have.
Yeah, this is like,
I think it was almost four.
Yeah, this ended close to midnight.
Yeah. But I know because you were watching it, I was not. A couple of friends of mine got engaged and we were socially distancing, celebrating their engagement.
There you go.
So.
But Omega got the win, clean as a sheet in the middle with the one-winged angel.
Kind of ended just real quickly.
Yeah, it was an abrupt ending, kind of out of nowhere. It was a good match, though.
Fine. It was absolutely fine. Right result. I want to know where I wish Hangman would just maybe stop fucking drinking.
Oh, and I do have to correct myself from the last segment. John Silver is 4, Alex Reynolds is 3. I said Silver is 3 and Reynolds is 4. It's reversed.
It does not matter.
It does!
But
his name is literally John 4 Silver.
Also, I thought Hangman died in the Tiger Driver.
Yeah.
I watched it twice because I thought, I don't know how he's alive. But this was fine. I hope now we can get away from this now. Maybe Hangman will join FTR now. Maybe they won't. I don't know. But just, I'm happy.
Know. It would kind of, I think, here's what I think is going to happen long term. I think Hangman stays a babyface. Kenny goes full heel if he hasn't already, which I don't think he has because he celebrated with the Bucks later. Kenny beats Mox in February at Revolution. They'll put Mox's title reign at a year. I think that'd be a good ending point for it.
Yeah.
So Kenny wins a title from Mox, and then Hangman beats Kenny to finally be crowned as the champion. Maybe. No, that's too soon. Maybe like All Out.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, I don't
think. The September pay-per-view. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. That's what I meant.
That's kind of the way I see it going.
That's, you know what, you're probably right, and that's fine. That's
how it should go, at least.
Hopefully we can get this fucking virus under control by then and get fans back in the stands.
They had like 1,000 people. They had like their biggest audience since the pandemic there. You see, this is completely unrelated, but did you see that they had fucking 30,000 people at that Cowboys-Steelers game? I mean, granted, the place is massive, so you could like spread that many people out, but that's like the biggest attendance anywhere since the pandemic.
Yep.
Besides like SEC places that are like blatantly breaking the rules, but that's a different story.
Some expendable children, the SEC.
John Silver versus Orange Cassidy. I'm not the biggest fan of shtick, but this was thoroughly entertaining. I enjoyed, when John Silver ripped his pockets out, I fucking howled.
I mean, it's good research.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if a guy's going to put his hands in his pockets, if you take the pockets out, you're kind of taking that out of the repertoire. This match did what it did. We went from the serious Omega Page match. We had kind of a comedic relief entertaining match with still some really good action in it. Like, Silver could go. Cassidy could go. Eventually, Cassidy got the win, as everyone expected he would, and I enjoyed it. Yeah. I thought it was good.
Perfectly fine.
Up next, the TNT Championship match. On any other show on Earth, this would have been the best match of the night, but this show had FTR and the Young Bucks, so poor Cody and Darby, but they still had a fantastic match.
This match was outstanding. This match was better than Omega and Hangman.
Agreed. This is the second best match in the show.
Yeah. Which again, Cody. Cody, I still think to this day, Cody.
Wait,
Cody.
What are you starting to drink? You tink? You got a lot of tings?
I got tings, you know. Listen, you know, you're very aware of my speech problems, but, that was an accident.
Turn it up!
But
Banging it. Do you get my reference?
I did.
Okay.
But I, shit, where's I going? Oh, Cody has
doing the worm in speech therapy, baby.
Cody, oh, yeah, good God.
So now you get my
reference. No, I got it before, okay, too, okay. But then I kind of put it together.
Okay.
Good. Cody has the best singles matches in the show. I still think Dustin's the best singles match this promotion has had. Cody and Dustin, it was on the first show.
Probably.
And but Cody's really good. He booked himself to be a mid-carder, and that's fine, because I think that's a good place for him to...
The low-key shade.
It's not shade. I think it's a perfect place for him.
That's low-key shade.
It's not low-key shade. I think it's the thing he should have done.
He booked himself as a mid-carder, which is where his ass belongs. Get out of the main event.
Tony, he can't win it. He can't contest for the championship.
He got your last name back.
So he created a mid-card championship and books himself to win the mid-card championship. That's the most mid-card thing in history.
Wow.
But this is how he should be doing. He's developing people. This match was fucking great.
This was a great match.
Darby looked outstanding. He didn't do a lot of stupid shit, which is good, because he's got to stop that shit eventually. Coffin Drop, he's going to have to change his finisher in the next 5 years, probably. But this was so good. Take us through the match.
So it was a back and forth match. Cody was using his wrestling to take advantage. He was outpowering Darby, but Darby kept scrapping back. Eventually, Cody got really cocky. Rhodes got caught in a cradle by Darby Allin, and Darby Allin is the new TNT champion as Cody Rhodes looked on in disbelief.
I've never seen a Rhodes lose a championship. I've never seen a Rhodes booking himself to lose a championship.
In the first match since he got his name back. Can you believe it?
Yeah. It's like WWE gave his name back just so he can bury himself.
I wonder if that was like part of the settlement. Like, hey, you can have your last name back, but you're losing that fucking title.
It's either you're going out there in polka dots or you're losing. But can we talk about the great spot of the Avalanche crossroads and Darby rolls under the ropes and professional referee Mike Chioda noticed it?
Yes.
Very good spot. Love that spot.
I think Kyoto's like fucking Cody's personal referee, because the only matches he ever refs in this company are Cody's.
Like
matches.
Aubrey. Aubrey only does Jericho's.
She does other matches. She does all of Jericho's matches, but she does other matches.
Fatty.
Kyoto literally only does Cody's matches.
Very true.
But we still got fucking Rick Knox out here doing fucking...
And Remsburg.
I don't mind Bryce. I think Bryce is a decent ref. But Rick Knox, man. When Guevara got fucking waffled with that chair right in front of him and he did nothing. I mean, I get he can't do anything about it because it's... But, like, you know it's coming. No, don't fucking look.
He has to be more with it in that situation. He's out there to keep the safety of the guys, too.
That's what the fucking ringside doctor's for. Let them do that. But if you know a guy's about to fucking get hit with a chair, don't fucking look at the guy getting hit with a fucking chair. It's not hard.
Nope, it's not. That was disgusting, by the way.
Yeah. Team Taz with a post-match attack. I don't know how I feel about it. I would have let Darby have his moment, but
whatever. I would have too, but I don't. I think Darby getting the shit kicked out of him is his moment.
If Naito doesn't get his moment, Darby doesn't get his moment.
That's fair. So. Like I said, I think Darby's moment is just getting the shit kicked out of him. Seems like his favorite thing he does.
So the women's title on the line, Carter Sheeta and Nyla Rose. This was the only disappointment on the show.
And but it wasn't a disappointment because you knew it was going to be the worst match in the show.
Yeah, let me rephrase that. It was the only bad match in the show.
There was the valley of the show.
It's the only match in the show I would put in the bad category. Which is disappointing because I thought their match at Double or Nothing in May was good. I thought they had a good match in May. But maybe just because there was no story in this. They just kind of came out of nowhere. I love Vicky Guerrero, but her yelling at ringside did not help.
And after the match.
Yeah, I don't know. Can we get a real feud for fucking Sheeta, please? Her best feud was with a champion from another company.
Yep. Well, this division. It's a division.
I know.
You can't feud with people that aren't fucking there.
I know Britt isn't the best in ring, but like at least the program would be good. Let Britt feud with
hopefully
Sheeta.
Hopefully this means Thunder Rosa is on AEW because they need her desperately. They cannot fuck that signing up.
Well, she's under contract with NWA until next year, so.
But
she's supposedly taking time off to focus on her mixed martial arts promotion that she runs.
All
right. That's what I said, too. So, up next, the best thing on the show, and I gotta watch the match from Revolution back, but right now I'm gonna say the match of the year. I think this topped it.
I would have the Revolution over this.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know I love FTR, so maybe that's just some bias on my part.
So I also have to rewatch this match.
This match was fantastic.
Like I have to pick through this match.
This match was the Edge and Randy Orton of tag matches. What I mean by that is like all of the callbacks, like
this was art.
Yeah.
This was masterpiece.
You could tell that Cash and Edge are friends because the matches were so similar in the way they were put together. And I'm sure Edge had a big deal in putting together the Randy match. And I'm sure Cash had a fucking big part of putting together this match. Like, you could tell. And they had a little Lakers versus Celtics things going on. And the Young Bucks later confirmed that was intentional.
Yeah, I missed it. What happened?
The Revival's gear was green.
Yeah,
Bucks gear was purple and yellow.
You're right. They were. But they're both from South Carolina.
What does that have to do with anything?
Why are they Celtics fans?
They're not. Who said they're Celtics fans?
Celtics-Lakers thing.
Yeah. It was because fucking Celtics-Lakers is the rivalry in basketball.
Oh, I guess you're right. The rivalry in sports, I guess.
And the Lakers are like the flashy Showtime team. The Celtics are like the fundamentally sound team.
Yeah, Jesus.
FTR were the Celtics and the Young Bucks are the Lakers.
Those jackets were like strictly Bird Celtics jackets.
Yeah, and the fucking green tights.
Yep.
Just
a lot went into this, and it was good.
I love this match. Anyone that says the Young Bucks can't tell stories needs to watch this match.
But this match makes me hate them more.
Why?
Because this match was fucking excellent. If they can do this every time, I can watch and enjoy all their matches.
They can, but they choose
not to.
Yeah, because that's not what their fans want.
You know what? That's fair. Like, you know my opinion on the Young Bucks. As wrestlers, I think they can have tremendous matches. I've seen them have three of the best tag matches I've ever seen in my life. This one, the one at Resolution, and, the one at the G1 Super Show in San Francisco in the Cow Palace?
With Kenny and Kota? Yeah.
I wish they could do it more. But you're right, their fans don't give a fuck. I think that this match was going to be hard to top. Listen, I didn't have a match of the year before this week, and now two of them happened the last 2 weeks.
What's the other one?
Walter and Ilya.
Oh, yeah. I guess that was 2 weeks ago. Feels like a lifetime ago.
Everything feels like a lifetime now.
We
had three Tuesdays last week.
Yeah, and that election lasting all week didn't help.
That's what I'm saying. Three Tuesdays.
Yeah. Every day was Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of callbacks in this match. Rockers, Heart Foundation, Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express, DIY.
Power and Glory.
Power and Glory. The Golden Lovers. When FTR hit the meeting in the middle, I popped legit. They even did the little... I know we're not on videos, you can't see it, but they did the little Gargano Ciampa pose. DIY was mentioned by name. Bucks hit Swanton Bomb, Twist of Fate combo, 3D. Basically, it was a battle of, like... FTR was using all of the moves from tag teams that influenced them, and the Bucks were using tag team moves from all the teams that influenced them.
Which are the Bucks.
Stop it. But the finish was art in every sense of the form. So, Matt is down. And Cash is on the apron. He's looking around. He's looking around. And then he makes the fatal error. As you know, their motto is no fist, just flips. But Cash goes for a springboard 450, a trademark of the Bucks. He eats shit, immediately eats a super kick to the face, and the Bucks win.
A barefooted super kick.
A socked super kick. And the Young Bucks are the AEW Tag Team Champions. This match kicked all the asses. 6.25 stars.
It'll get over 5.
It has, yeah. This match was incredible.
What did the last one get?
The last what?
Revolution.
I think 7, maybe? 6.5?
Really?
I don't know.
I'll look it up. Just continue talking.
It was over 5. I don't think it was 7. But yeah, Omega came out to celebrate, and Paige stood in the tunnel at the very corner, and yeah, this was a masterpiece.
Yeah, it was. It was just so good, beginning and end.
So up next, we have the Elite Deletion match.
6.
I knew it was over 5. So we have Sammy Guevara rolling up in his golf cart. He is greeted by NEO 1. And
R.I.P. Vanguard 1.
Yep, rip. Then a hologram of Matt appears welcoming Samuel to the Dome of Deletion. So they fight. They pull out a table from underneath a wrestling ring in the middle of the woods, which always cracks me up. Then the cameos begin. Matt is in control of Sammy, but then all of a sudden, a masked man is shown holding Hurricane Helms captive. The masked man is revealed to be Gangrel, who JR quickly corrects, also known as David Heath. Gotta avoid that copyright.
You know, with the fangs and the white shirt, we're just...
Gangrel says that he mentored Matt, but Matt never gave him any credit, which I guess is kind of true. And when Shane asks why it took him so long to rescue him, he says it was long-term storytelling and he had to go to AEW to finish it. So shot at WWE for never following up on the House Hardy Halloween special. I wonder if Gangrel is supposed to be the payoff the whole time. I would guess so.
Was Gangrel the debut we were waiting for?
No, they supposedly scrapped that.
It was Stinger, wasn't it?
Potentially, I don't know.
But, oh my God, the House Hardy Halloween special, my favorite thing in WWE Network history.
And
you do not have to fight forever, no matter what the internet and fans say.
And they never followed up on it because they're stupid.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, this turned into a real fucking brawl. There was a callback to the scary all-out spot. There was also a callback to, remember when Matt Hardy's last WWE appearance was, right?
No.
Randy Orton sent him to the gods with the concerto.
Oh, yes.
And what did Matt Hardy do to Samuel? He gave him the concerto. So Matt Hardy's a creative genius. I think we all knew this. This was good. I didn't know what to expect, but I figured it would be good because Matt Hardy's always good with these kind of things.
This was not what I expected.
Yeah, I didn't expect this because this was more serious than I expected.
Yeah, there was no teleporting.
They got the goofy shit out of the way early and then went to like a serious brawl, which I like. It was a nice mix of everything.
Yeah.
And we both said that Sammy Guevara should win, which means Matt Hardy will win. So we were both right. We called that one. Chris Jericho versus MJF. When I was watching this live after the Elite Deletion, I'm like, all right, time for Kingston and Moxley. And then MJF came out, and I was like, oh, shit, I forgot about this.
Yeah, me too. I legitimately had the same thing. I'm like, this is, I remember looking down going, that Kingston and Moxley match is going to be pretty long. And then I forgot about this match.
Yeah.
Because this is a weird spot for this match. But
so MJF, yeah, it's basically the death spot.
Yeah. Maybe Chris Jericho in the death spot brings up the ratings.
Ratings on a pay-per-view?
Or it brings up, like, the morale of it. I don't know. But
yeah, I don't know where you're going with that.
Neither do I. Continue.
I thought you were going to make a COVID joke about Jericho in the death spot.
Shit! I should have.
That's where I honest to God thought you were going.
Listen, there's 200... There's 30,000 reasons why Jericho was in this match.
So there's a light-up jacket shown on stage. It's not Chris Jericho. It's MJF.
I knew it didn't fit anymore. I knew it wasn't Jericho.
Chris Jericho comes out. The fans sing Judas. He looks very happy.
He did look very happy.
Yeah. I mean, he had a rough week on Twitter, so he was probably relieved to see the people still like him.
Fair enough. Happy birthday, by the way, Chris.
Yeah, Chris turned the big 5-0.
He's no longer in the key demo.
You stole that joke.
I did. But I've been using that joke for a long time, and you know it.
I think you already thought he was 50, because you were saying he's not in the key demo for a while.
I already thought he was 50.
Yeah. I don't know. What'd you think of this match?
Not good or bad.
I like the finish.
I'd love the finish.
So, Jericho gets tossed his baseball bat, and MJF pulls an Eddie Guerrero. When Aubrey turns around to disarm Jericho, MJF rolls him up, 1, 2, 3, and MJF gets the victory with the tights.
I know where this is going now.
Yeah? Where are we headed?
We're getting a heel fatty. Or we're getting a baby face fatty.
That's no way to talk about Jake Hager.
Fucking worthless piece of shit.
Stop it. He's an undefeated Bellator MMA fighter.
Yeah, because he fucking fights me out there. I'm sorry. He wrestled a 2,000th ranked fighter in the world. There is no difference than me and a 2,000th ranked fighter in the world.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
Absolutely not.
That guy would kick your ass.
Yeah, he would.
So there is a difference.
But we both have the same chance of beating Hager.
Okay, well, you could have said that.
But I think MJF is going to commandeer the Inner Circle and be its leader.
I don't know how I feel about that.
And Jericho and Wardlow would be babyfaces.
Wardlow's definitely going to be a babyface. Yes. Like, you could see that brewing.
Yes, he absolutely could. Never mind.
Let's
not talk about what just happened here.
I'm not into that, man. You could rock with that, but that's not me.
Okay.
So MJF gets the win. He's in the Inner Circle. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, looking forward to Wednesday.
Main event time. AEW World Title. I Quit Match. Eddie Kingston. John Moxley. So this was exactly what we expected to be. A lot of weapons, barbed wire, thumbtacks, chairs.
Shit talking.
I thought the rubbing alcohol to the open wounds was very creative. I haven't seen that one.
It just probably legitimately hurt.
If it was really alcohol, it could have just been water.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I don't think they're stupid enough to legitimately pour alcohol in open wounds.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm hoping it was just water.
Out of anybody to do it, though, would be those two.
So, eventually, Moxley has to use the bulldog choke with the barbed wire wrapped around the neck. He doesn't want to do it. It kills him to do it. Eddie Kingston finally says, I quit. Moxley stands tall. Wasn't the best I Quit match I've ever seen, but it told a great story. All of the weapon use is for a reason. It wasn't just nonsensical weapon shots for the sake of weapon shots. Yeah, I think top to bottom, this was the best pay-per-view AEW has put on to date.
I would agree.
So I think I gave the first Double or Nothing an A-, which means I have to give this an A.
A-minus for me.
Because if I thought it was better than Double or Nothing, and I gave Double or Nothing an A-.
I don't remember my grades, so A-minus for me. I think it was good.
All right, so that's our thoughts on Full Gear. We're interested to see where they go from here. We know John Moxley's next challenge will be Kenny Omega. We know the Young Bucks are the tag champs.
Who goes after them? Party, maybe?
FTR, maybe?
Yeah, I'm okay with them going another one.
Maybe they do the old WCW Best of 7 series, because we know how much they love WCW stuff.
No, that wasn't in the bad WCW. But I think that maybe something big happens Wednesday, and we start moving towards a different main event. I don't know. I'm excited for Wednesday.
Where does Eddie Kingston and the family go from here? What is Pac coming to take back Phoenix and Penta? Is Pac join up with Eddie Kingston and the family? A lot of unanswered questions here.
He has to, because it doesn't seem to be a babyface.
What happens with the Hangman? Will he be drunk? Probably.
I really wish that would stop.
I don't mind it.
But, all right, we'll see you next week with something fun.
Sure.
Peace.
Yeah.
Thank you once again for listening to Champions Advantage Podcast. We're at Champions Pod on Twitter, coming at you usually every Tuesday, but with some scheduling changes for us two strapping handsome young men. It's sometimes Friday, sometimes Thursday. Who knows? But we will let you know. Follow at Champions Pod on Twitter. Follow David Allen Coe, the DMV, Gil Cuda Jr., at Cuda_Jr. for Top of the Rope Wrestling Radio every Monday night on CBS Sports Baltimore with a podcast soon to follow. Make sure you follow at Bearded Chris P, at Ron_Musto_Jr., and at Lindsay Beyond X. Follow the entire network at TT_4U. Thank you. See you next week.